shit, where Brett's not here, where is it? Like, where is he gone?
You peasant.
And you're listening to episode 5 of A Hard Life of a Strawberry podcast. So, if you listened to our last episode, you know we kind of ventured off our pregnancy journey to discuss the weirdest pregnancy questions that are out there, and there's been some pretty weird ones.
Hopefully quite a bit of a fun episode for you guys.
We've also had some extra ones sent in, and they definitely made our weekends. Since that podcast, we've had some more sent in over on Instagram as well, and let me tell you, they get weirder.
Yeah, there's some quite weird and wonderful ones out there.
This week we are diving back into our pregnancy journey. You've heard how we announced our pregnancy. We've talked about our private scan, HG sickness. So we're diving back into that roller coaster, and this week we are kind of going back a little bit, because although we had a private scan around, I think it was like 8 or 10 weeks, we then had our main hospital scan at 12 weeks when I had obviously all my bloods taken. So it's quite a bit of a roller coaster. So let's dive in.
Yeah, let's go.
So, to add a little bit of context, a lot of people normally when they first meet their community midwives will have their bloods taken straight away. So for those of you that have either, there's a high chance that if you've been pregnant, on your pregnancy journey, that when you first met your community midwife, that they will have taken your first set of bloods. So because we chose a hospital that was kind of technically outside our district, that makes it sound like we're Divergent or something, or, you know, Hunger Games.
Yeah, it was actually a closer hospital than the one in our district, but...
But yeah, so because of this, unfortunately throughout my pregnancy, there was a very big disjoint of communication between our community midwife and the hospital, which...
What's annoying is because the one in our district, it's all a digital process, but the one outside our district, the hospital has everything still on a paper process. So we're given printouts every time we go to the hospital. And then basically our midwife is then having to rely on that information that we provide her.
Yeah, and we met a lot of midwives, obviously, throughout the process. And I must say, the ones at the hospital were brilliant. Like, they were so friendly. They were always there to help.
They seemed to know what they were doing.
Our community midwife, she was nice.
Yeah,
but
nice.
But if we had the choice to pick her, I don't think we would have done.
No, absolutely not.
She was very...
patronising.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it. She's very patronising. And to be honest, we both have the sort of personality that we don't really gel with people like that. So, granted, it was probably just a personality clash, but it just felt like if there was something wrong or anything like that, we almost didn't want to speak to her about it.
Well, even with your sickness, you had HD...
Yeah, and oh my goodness. So the first time we met her, obviously, I'd just been diagnosed with HG because I'd been to the hospital a few days before, and was explaining this to her, and she was like, oh, that's not good, is it? I've only ever puked 4 times in my entire life. And I was like, I've puked like 4 times this morning. And when I was going through that, and obviously at the time I was really worried
Granted,
about...
she was just trying to make a joke out of the situation, but...
Yeah, it just felt really kind of dismissive, didn't it?
Like, yeah, it's not what you needed.
No, it's not. I kind of needed just... I needed reassurance that the sickness wasn't going to affect my baby. I needed to tell me something was going to get better, because obviously they all said, oh, by 12 weeks it'll be gone, and, you know, fast forward, it didn't go. So yeah, we can't hit on it, but unfortunately, because there was such a disconnect, as I say, between the GP, community midwife, and the hospital, it made it very difficult at times. Like, I feel like sometimes she was a bit more lazy, like she felt... She'd just turn around and be like, oh, if there's this, that, or the other, just go to the hospital.
Yeah, just go to the hospital. They'll deal with it. Right.
So this is why at my 12-week scan at the hospital is when I first had my bloods taken. So it was already a little bit later than most get them done anyway. But they said it's not the end of the world sort of thing, didn't they? And
yeah.
If I remember rightly, was this the same time we had the bloods taken for, like, to check for, like, Down syndrome and stuff as well?
I think so, yeah. I think it was the same date because then did it take another 4 or 5 weeks for that letter to come through?
I'm not sure because we went for our first, well, I say first scan, our first hospital scan, wasn't it?
The first proper scan, so to speak.
So I feel like we were really nervous but excited at this point. Like, we knew, you know, our little strawberry was in there. We'd already heard the heartbeat.
Yeah,
before.
But we were still so excited to go back and see her again.
Yeah. Like, this was the proper dating scan, wasn't it? So we'd really find out.
Yeah, so this is the one where the hospital would set her due date and we'd go from there.
Yeah, which was, I remember going in and we were really excited because I was like, so she was, we already knew she was roughly going to be due in December.
Yeah, so our first scan, they turned around and said how she was going to be a 19th of December, baby.
Was it 19th? Yeah, God.
Yeah, because we were just like, oh gosh, that's so close to Christmas.
Yeah, like what if it
goes even later?
What if you go over? And I guess it wouldn't have been the worst thing, but all we could imagine is, and it probably sounds really, like, I don't know, selfish, I guess, but we were like,
but we didn't want everyone kind of lumping her birthday and Christmas together.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things, like, and granted, if you've got a birthday near Christmas, let us know if this happens to you. That a lot of people take the attitude, oh, well, you've got one present and it's kind of like your birthday and Christmas.
Some of you might actually love that, but to me, I think of Christmas and birthdays, there should be two
separate
special occasions.
Yeah, and as you say, one's like more of a family day, one's just how individual, isn't it? But
yeah.
Let us know. It'd be really interesting to hear your thoughts on that, actually. So we went, obviously, to the dating scan, and I won't lie, I think I was more nervous for this scan than I was the original one.
No, it was definitely the other way around for me.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, it already calmed my nerves knowing that I'd already heard a heartbeat. She was 100% already there, and we knew that.
I think we were both excited to, like, see her again.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's for sure.
I guess that's the same for all the scans, wasn't it?
And we got more scan photos this time as well, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. They were better as well, obviously, because she was bigger, wasn't she? But so, yeah, we had the scan, and obviously, we won't go into too much depth about the scan. It was just a very straightforward, you know, kind of, I think, like, obviously they measured all those kind of generic things, and then we kind of went through to the, was it like the antenatal clinic to get the bloods taken and stuff?
Yeah.
Bloods, blood pressure, you name it. I think it was just with one of the midwives there.
Oh, and because then, there we actually got a second midwife, didn't we?
Oh yeah, she was really lovely.
So she actually retook all of your details again, like all your height, weight and everything, make sure the baby was in the right health bracket.
Yeah,
right,
and I won't lie, she made me feel better because when I had my weight taken at the GP, I'd had like a really big hoodie on, I had boots on because it was freezing, and
yeah, your boots had a good like 2-inch heel on as well, so
yeah,
that will have affected everything.
They were like, don't get me wrong, obviously it's not going to change your weight that much, but I was like, oh damn, that's a big weight. And then it was really funny because when we were at the hospital and they did it, they're like, right, take off your boots, you know, like take off your jacket, those kind of things, and I was like, oh, I feel like this is like a placebo effect that I've just lost a bit of weight, this is nice. But no, she was lovely. She told us about how, asked us if we were excited to kind of find out the gender, and she said how for her little girls, because
yeah,
she'd had two.
She'd just come back off of maternity leave as well, hadn't she?
Yeah, but she'd never found out what the gender was.
Mm-hmm.
And she said how it was really exciting, and then obviously we said we're far too impatient, we couldn't have done that. But no, she was lovely. So, but then we were just kind of like sent on our way, weren't we, to go home and wait for the results of these tests.
Little did we know we'd be coming back in a few weeks.
I don't even think it was that. I think it was in less than a week I got a phone call from the hospital. And I don't know if anyone else does this. If I have an unknown number call me, I
just ignore it.
Yeah, I ignore it. And if it's someone I know, someone I like, they'll text message me or send me a voicemail. And then I can decide if I'm going to ring them back. Maybe it's is that a millennial thing? Like,
I think it's an introvert thing, darling.
An introvert thing, yeah, maybe. Sometimes you just don't want to talk to people on the phone, but I just think that, yeah, maybe. Let us know. Is that a you thing? Is that just a me thing? Am I just a bit odd?
A bit odd, I think.
Well, you would definitely say that, wouldn't you? But then again, you do the exact same thing. But yeah, I got this phone call, and to be fair, I think on the second time it rang, I did answer. And it was the midwife from the hospital. And I was kind of panicking a little bit because I was like, why is she ringing me? Like, what's going on? And basically, she was ringing to tell me that one of my blood results showed that I had low Pap A. And she didn't say much, but she said, you know, obviously not to worry. You've got low Pap A, but due to this, I'm going to set you up a repeat prescription for aspirin. So it's like low dosage aspirin or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We just called it baby aspirin in the end because it wasn't quite full dose aspirin.
I don't think it's far off the full aspirin, to be fair.
No, yeah. But to say, and she said, obviously, go pick that up from the pharmacy and take one every day. So I got off the call and obviously told you, didn't I? Because I think you were working from home that day.
Working from hospital that day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the amount of times you've ended up working from the hospital is quite funny. But yeah, so obviously the same thing anybody would do. I googled what low Pap A was and oh my, I should not have.
You went down
that.
A rabbit hole, didn't you?
Like, everything was wrong with me after that point. Like, don't get me wrong, low Pap A is something to be cautious of, and because of this meant that I ended up having additional growth scans, which were a negative and a positive all in one, because it meant that we got to see our little strawberry grow more often by having scans, but then at the same time, you know, knowing we had to have them was because there was something concerning happening.
Yeah, I think I definitely liked the idea that we had to just keep going back. It was a little frustrating at times, don't get me wrong, but I think it was nice of being able to see her more often, whereas most people, when they're having in their pregnancy journey, they'll see their baby 2, maximum 3 times in a scan.
I know, and that's crazy to me.
We were seeing her once a month.
Yeah, and by the end, it was even more, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But
yeah, we're twice weekly, wasn't it?
But yeah, so although obviously we googled, and then obviously I went from, Brett told me that I was no longer allowed to Google, so obviously I found a loophole and I TikToked, which TikTok had had its moments of being really good. Like, sometimes it's nice to find someone going through the same thing as you that's relatable and just, you know, calm your nerves a little bit, but there were so many things that were saying, oh, because of low Pap A, your baby will be premature, they're going to be small, you know, it's to do with, like, your placenta not working properly or having to work harder or something. And it was like, there was so much, like, negative information out there.
Yeah.
And to be fair, as I say, TikTok was great in some aspects because there was people that had their babies and they were saying everything was fine, which, to be fair, ended up being for us, didn't it?
Yeah.
But that's just why you take your aspirin and things like that. Although, I remember thinking, like, could you not, like, get addicted to aspirin? I was like, I'm taking this every day, and I took it for, like, what, seven, eight months?
Yeah, like 7 months.
Yeah, and then the day that she was born,
you're
I was just told,
oh, yeah, just stop taking it now.
Yeah, that's it. So it was very strange, but yeah, so afterwards we ended up going to see our community midwife again, didn't we? So it was really funny. So instead of her telling us stuff, we were kind of like filling her in of what's happening and what happened with our bloods and how they've come back and all those kind of things.
Little Miss, I'm not concerned.
Well, yeah, you need to tell them why she's Little Miss, I'm not concerned.
Oh, basically, We could tell her that, oh, do you know what, we're dying tomorrow. She went, oh, do you know what, I'm not concerned, not at all.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be fine, I'm not concerned.
But yeah, because, like, don't get me wrong, to most people saying that from a professional, you'd be like, okay, that's okay, I don't need to be concerned. But this phrase of, I'm not concerned, was very consistent every single time we saw her. So unfortunately, there was quite a few little things that popped up.
Yeah, so every time we kind of had an issue that we were concerned about, she wasn't concerned.
Yeah, so quite frankly, we wanted to get a T-shirt by the end of it that said, "I'm not concerned."
I understand to some extent, yes. There's no point stressing your patient out, saying that, oh yes, it's a really tricky situation, or you're really concerned about it because it's really dangerous. But at the same time, you can't just say, I'm not concerned, for every situation possible.
But it got to the stage where it felt like she was brushing us off, though, didn't it? Like, oh yeah, I'm not concerned. And I was like, well, I'm not concerned about being here.
Well, it got to one point with her, where, like, is there any point in us actually seeing you if we're going to the hospital twice a week?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So, obviously, because of this low pap here, we ended up with growth scans all the time, which, as we've mentioned, it was really nice to see our little one grow. But then the worrying thing is like, 1 week she was above placentile measurements, if that's the right phrase. And then the next week she was like, oh my God, she's small. And there was no consistency.
No, there was so much fluctuation. But I guess at the same time, they don't normally see that because people only have two scans and it'll just be a beginning and an end point. Whereas we were seeing the ups and downs of her actually growing.
Yeah, which was quite... It was weird though, wasn't it? Because it was like, oh my goodness, like, she seemed to have got really big and then it's like almost like she stopped.
And then she actually started going down on their scale and then right at the end she jumped back up again.
Yeah, and then like 1 week they turned around and went, oh well, by the looks of it, the last one was a little bit of an outlier. And we're like,
yeah, so we're almost contemplating, like,
which do we believe at this point?
Have you been measuring her wrong and that's kind of why it's popping up like this? Or
yeah, because at one stage we'd had that many scans that we'd kind of got familiar with who was doing the scan, so we'd kind of plotted it in our minds, like, right, those ones that are all saying she's a bit on the big side were by one midwife.
Yeah.
Or I can't think what they called for the women that did the ultrasounds. They're not midwives, are they? But either way, and then obviously the little outliers now and again were someone else who were like, oh, is it just,
yeah, someone we'd never really seen before.
Yeah, and those kind of things. And it's a journey, I'm not going to lie. Like, but yeah, so we had loads of scans, and obviously after your 12-week scan, it's what I'm going to call the most terrifying one possible.
Yeah, I think the next one is the anatomy scan, is that what it's called?
Yeah, so was that roughly around 20 weeks?
I think it's smack bang 20 weeks.
And so this is the scan that I'm going to say dig deep.
So I think it's like a 40-minute scan, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, it was slightly longer, but they checked everything, didn't they? They checked her spine.
Yeah, so they checked that all of her main
limbs,
organs are there, all of her limbs, make sure she's not got two hearts, two brains, but make sure she does have two eyes and a mouth and nose.
Yeah, like all those little things. And to be fair, this was what we were so nervous about, because like, oh my goodness, like, what if she hasn't developed? You know, you don't know, do you? Like,
this one is also, of course, the what everyone refers to as the gender scan.
Oh yeah, I forgot this was also the gender scan. Well, obviously, you all know that, well, she's a girl.
Yeah, but everyone will know this scan as the gender scan, not the anatomy scan.
I think because when it comes through as a letter, doesn't it, to book you in, it's the anatomy scan. But yeah, I remember being really nervous in the run-up to that scan, because I was like, what if something's wrong? What if, like, her brain's not right, or her spine, or...
And up till this...
But yeah, it was nervous, but like, she was going through things and she was like, yep, brain, nose,
and then
spine,
she'd just go silent for 10 minutes while she's kind of looking for the next bit. I'm like, is everything okay? Yeah. What's going on?
So I'm kind of like laid there staring at the ceiling like, oh my God. And I could see Brett was trying to like stare at the screen, because obviously, I don't know about you guys, obviously, for your scans and stuff, but they'd like show us the screen just to show, obviously, like, oh, your little strawberry's there, there's the heartbeat, this is the, you know, and they'd roughly point out, this is the head, this is the feet, da 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 da. But then they'd like turn the screen away. So obviously, me laid down on the chair, I couldn't see, but you could.
I could still see everything, yeah.
Yeah, so you're kind of like eyeballing. So I'm watching Brett's reactions, like, is everything okay?
Because I remember at this point, she was tossing and turning everywhere inside.
Yeah, she wasn't making it easy, was she? But that's why they kind of struggled at first to figure out if she was a boy or girl, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, I think she's a girl. And I was like, oh, God.
And I could tell you were definitely nervous for this scan as well, mainly because of...
Oh, no!
Yeah, so you were taking a bowl with you everywhere, and of course a nice big your big Stanley cup. So what did this one go and do? Oh, let's just kick it over right before we go in.
No, to give context, right? So I was sat in the waiting room and Brett said, oh, I need the bathroom. So I'm like, right, okay, I was really nervous. I was like, please don't be long. Like, what if they call us in? And I put my cup on the floor by my feet. I don't know why. I think I was just being a bit lazy, to be fair. And then all of a sudden, the woman called my name. And in my head, I'm like, shit, where, Brett's not here. Where is it? Like, where is he gone? So I stood up.
And I come toddling round the corner.
And I stood up.
You've got knocky water everywhere.
I kicked it everywhere, but everybody's staring at me. And
yeah,
I'm like,
this waiting room is full and everyone's just giving you dirty looks. Like, how dare you kick that water over? You peasant.
But I didn't know what to do, though, because I was just like, oh my God. Like, I've got no... So then Brett had to run and go get some, like, tissues and stuff. And I'm, like, stood there next to this water on the floor and everyone's staring at me like, are you not going to do anything?
So then pick up the cup, clean it all up. There's still a little bit left in Miss Stanley cup. Oh, what does she go and do? Oh, let's just knock it over again.
At this point, I just ran into the room and left Brett to sort it out.
Right, thanks, darling. I'll fill it up for you again.
We kind of got in and then, like, he came in, like, 2 minutes later. But I think he was just out of panic and then, like, embarrassment and a little bit more panic that I'd just done this. And I was just like, shit, just run into the room. Like, I'm going to blame baby brain. Like, even if it was only, like, 20 weeks, I'm blaming that. I was more focused on having my bowl so I didn't puke. I was stressed about the fact that the woman was calling us in and Brett wasn't there. Which, to be fair, I'm quite lucky, aren't I? Because you came to all the scans.
Yeah, I was there for every scan, but I didn't want to miss a single one either.
Yeah, and I know there's sometimes...
I know I didn't necessarily need to be there for all of them, but...
Like, sometimes, you know, you go on your own and...
But also at the same time, our hospital was still a good 40-minute drive away.
Yeah, and I don't drive, so you kind of had to, didn't
you? Yeah, so
you?
By bus it was literally 2.5 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely wasn't doing that. But yeah, I've got to ask, like, that. I think that was one of my most embarrassing moments during pregnancy.
Yeah.
Which, granted, probably doesn't even sound like a lot, saying I threw water everywhere, but it was. It was just the whole panic and, like, I didn't know what to do and I didn't want to walk off as if I was leaving it, but I didn't, you know... Yeah, it was just a moment, like, world swallow you up moment.
I think all that happened within 30 seconds as well.
Oh, yeah.
But it seemed to last a lifetime, didn't it?
I did, yeah. That's why I just, in the end, ran in that room and kind of left you to it. Hello, are you awake?
Hello, oh, now he's here.
We have to try and do podcasts around nap times now. And obviously, wake windows have got a lot...
shorter.
Yeah, no, they've got longer. Mm. Sleep time's got shorter. Mm. So, yeah, you'll quite often hear our little strawberry in the background where she's started a nap and she's woken up. So if you ever wonder what the strange, like, sucking noise in the background is, it's because she's currently teething and she's chewing on her diddy or her hand, whichever one she likes the most at the time. I guess that was a sum up of, well, my embarrassment and our scans sort of thing. But if you do get told you have low pap here, obviously you're going to Google as much as people tell you not to, or TikTok or whichever. I know it's easier said than done. Try not to think just... Yeah, I think if you are going to kind of research and stuff, which there's no harm in doing that, just try not to consume yourself with the negative side of things, because I feel like at times I did, didn't I?
At times?
Well, no, but I feel like that's why you were really handy. You kind of snapped me out of it and said, you know, try not to focus on the, you know, the bad side and stuff. You know, he said, you've been popped on aspirin. You
I
know.
Think just kind of trust the doctors.
Yeah, they're taking action of what they think sensible and stuff and keeping an eye on you. So, yeah.
If you really are that bad, they'll do a little bit more, won't they?
Yeah, no, that's very true, you know. And obviously, if you're concerned and you really have more questions, ask your midwives, even if, you know, your community would...
Even if she isn't concerned.
Oh, yeah, even if she isn't concerned. But, yeah, so although our midwife wasn't concerned, we were very concerned. The only thing you guys need to be concerned about is joining us for our next episode.
Which I'm not concerned about.
Well, next time we'll be diving into actually starting to buy things. So kind of like where we started, what we started with.
Oh, we went instantly, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, obviously starting to kind of pull a nursery together. Basically, we just had the best excuse to go shopping ever. But yeah, so thank you for listening to episode 5 of The Hard Life of a Strawberry. And as always, let us know your thoughts. We want to hear kind of how what your midwife experiences were, what were your scans like, were you nervous for your anatomy scan? And but yeah, let us know if you had a boy or a girl, because we want to hear all about, you know, did you think that that's what you were having, or...
Yeah, we didn't have a gender reveal party, but I know a lot of you will.
Yeah, we want to hear all about it. So, yeah, join us next time and we can dive into a little bit more of our pregnancy journey.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Right, catch you later.
Ta-ta!